Are you looking for information to help your indoor environment be the safest space available for you and your family? If you are, then you've come to the right place. My name is Mike McNatt, and this is the Indoor Environmental Safe Space Podcast. Another important topic, though, when we talk about mold, we need to consider what it produces. The substances that are produced by a living organism, especially as a part of living and metabolism, are called metabolites. So mold produces two categories of metabolites. It produces primary metabolites, which are created directly as a result of ingesting nutrients and converting them into energy. So anything that converts a substance into energy as part of life is going to create primary metabolites. And those primary metabolites with mold are what give mold its musty smell. When it comes to mold, we call them microbial volatile organic compounds, or MVOCs for short. Now, those are what gives mold its musty smell. The good news is that they're not generally considered to be harmful to the human system. So they are more of an annoyance. You know, that smell isn't pleasant, although that smell can be very handy if you're looking for mold, because if you walk into a house or you open a crawl space hatch or you open a closet and you smell that pungent, musty smell, that's a good indication that there may be a microbial growth problem going on in that area. So it's definitely worth further investigation, and that's one of the tools that mold assessment consultants and environmental professionals will use in order to help locate mold is, you know, if we suspect it's underneath a cabinet, we'll open up the cabinet and take a little smell and see if it smells musty, because that's an indicator. Although it's not absolutely reliable 100%, it is an indicator. The reason why it can be misleading is because those volatile organic compounds are only produced when the mold is alive and metabolizing. So if you have an old dried up mold colony that died a while back because it ran out of moisture, it's not going to be producing those VOCs and it's not going to be generating that smell. And also, not all molds produce a smell. So some of the VOCs are not really detectable. So it can be hit or miss, but having that smell is a good indication that there's a mold problem. The absence of the smell is not proof that there's not a mold problem. So keep that in mind. Now, when we talk about the MVOCs or the primary metabolites, these are gases. These are not a living substance. And again, we already discussed the fact that they're not known to be harmful to the human system. They're what gives mold that funky odor, that musty odor. So that's all we're going to discuss about the primary metabolites right now, which again are microbial volatile organic compounds, or MVOCs. Next, let's talk about the secondary metabolites that some mold species can produce. Now, I really want to emphasize what I just said. Secondary metabolites can be produced by some mold species, not all of them. I don't care what anyone says, just because somebody sees a patch of mold that looks dark or black, they cannot identify that visibly as black mold, other than just a descriptive color. There are thousands and thousands of species of mold, and many, many of them are black and are not the mold that people often call the toxic black mold. And even if they could identify it visually, just by looking at it, they can't tell if it has produced those secondary metabolites. Secondary metabolites are not produced as part of the metabolic process, meaning the organism doesn't have to produce them to live and reproduce. So why would it produce them? Well, that's a great question, and a question people ask me a lot. Mold does not produce metabolites, primary or secondary, to target humans. Okay, we're much too large to even fall on a mold structure's radar. And let's talk about why secondary metabolites are produced. What's their purpose? Why would mold even want to produce them? Well, molds produce secondary metabolites, or what we call mycotoxins, as a defense mechanism. If the mold perceives that it's being invaded, that the little niche it's decided to grow its colony in is being invaded by another microbial species, whether it be a competing fungus or a bacteria or any other microbial invader, some species can produce mycotoxins. And at the time they perceive the threat, they will produce the mycotoxins to ward off the enemy and to protect their territory. As soon as the little microscopic battle is over, they will stand down on producing mycotoxins. So just because a mold is capable of producing a mycotoxin, it doesn't mean that it has. No one can tell without laboratory testing. If you ever have a mold remediator or an environmental consultant come in and tell you, hey, I see mold here, it looks dark in color, that means it's a toxic mold, and that means your whole house is contaminated, you need to politely ask them to leave and get somebody in there much more qualified that understands that these things have to be tested. Everything until we get proof is a hypothesis. And unfortunately, we are not born with superhero microscopic eyesight. In fact, the older I get, the worse my eyesight gets. The reality is no one has good enough eyesight to positively identify mold, especially down to the species level. And then mycotoxins can't be identified, even if they could identify the species. Just because it can produce the mycotoxins doesn't mean it has. The secondary metabolites are also a non-living substance. Mycotoxins are not alive. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard customers confuse mycotoxins with mold spores, or mycotoxins with the physical structure of mold, or the musty smell, which is the VOCs, with the mycotoxins. They're all separate. The physical parts of the mold are the physical parts. Those are the mycelium, the hyphal structures, and the spores are the three primary categories that we can consider. The MVOCs are gases, non-living gases. And then the mycotoxins are non-living chemicals. So all three are related in that they're all part of fungal ecology, but they're not the same thing at all. You know, what you need to be watching out for is any environmental professional that tells you, hey, if we remove the mold, we remove the mycotoxins. Absolutely false statement, 100% false. Especially a dangerous statement to people who might be sensitized to exposure to mycotoxins. In order to remove mycotoxins, you've got to remove mycotoxins, and it is a different process. It can fold into mold remediation, but if a company just comes in and says, we're going to put up containment around this mold colony, we're going to cut out that visible, unsightly spot of mold that you can see underneath that kitchen cabinet, we're going to wipe that down with a antimicrobial solution and then run a little air scrubber inside of our containment and you'll be fine. That may be true. It may not be true. Again, that is a hypothesis. And that hypothesis would be that that mold colony either A, is a species that is not capable of producing mycotoxins, or B, it's a species that can produce mycotoxins, but it has not. And the only way that can be confirmed is through laboratory testing by a qualified indoor environmental professional. So if it has produced mycotoxins and their hypothesis is wrong, they've just left a ton of mycotoxins in your home. And you definitely don't want that. So hire qualified people, but be familiar with these concepts so you can determine whether or not the person you're talking to is qualified or not. The best way to single out qualified from unqualified indoor environmental professionals is to become educated yourself on some of these concepts so that you can catch them in correct statements and you can catch them in false statements. And if you catch them in a false one, just politely ask them to leave and let them know you'll think about it if you want or whatever the case may be, but send them on their way and then call somebody in behind them that's qualified and more experienced. Well, that concludes our podcast for today. If you found the information helpful, please support our podcast by selecting like below. And to stay informed as new episodes are posted, be sure and select subscribe below. If you have any questions or comments, be sure and post them below, or feel free to email us at info@iesafespace.com. Thanks for listening in. I'm Mike McNett, and this is the Indoor Environmental Safe Space Podcast.